In more than 3,300 studies of leaders conducted over the years, there's a special quality that stands out, one quality that all great leaders have in common. It is the quality of vision. Leaders have vision. Non-leaders do not. Earlier I said that the most important discovery in all of human history is that you become what you think about most of the time. What is it then that leaders think about most of the time? And the answer is that leaders think about the future and where they are going and what they can do to get there. Non-leaders, on the other hand, think about the present and the pleasures and problems of the moment. They think and worry about the past and what has happened that cannot be changed. We call this leadership quality future orientation. Leaders think about the future and what they want to accomplish and where they want to arrive sometime down the road. Leaders think about what they want and what can be done to achieve it. The good news is that when you begin to think about your future as well, you begin to think like a leader, and you will soon get the same results that leaders get. Dr. Edward Banfield of Harvard concluded after more than 50 years of research that long-time perspective was the most important determinant of financial and personal success in life. Banfield defined long-time perspective as the ability to think several years into the future while making decisions in the present. This is one of the most important discoveries ever made. Just think, the further you think into the future, the better decisions you will make in the present to assure that that future becomes a reality. For example, if you save $100 per month from the age of 20 to the age of 65, and you invested that money in a mutual fund earning an average of 10% per annum over time, you would be worth more than $1,118,000 when you retired. Anyone who really wanted to could save $100 per month if he or she had a long enough time perspective. What this means is that every single person starting work today can become a millionaire over time if they begin early enough, save consistently enough, and hold to their long-term vision of financial independence. In personal strategic planning, you should begin with a long-term view of your life as well. You should begin by practicing idealization in everything you do. In the process of idealization, you create a 5-year fantasy for yourself and begin thinking about what your life would look like in 5 years if it were perfect in every respect. The biggest single obstacle to setting goals is self-limiting beliefs. These are areas where you believe yourself to be limited in some way. You may believe yourself to be inadequate or inferior in areas such as intelligence, ability, talent, creativity, personality, or something else. As a result, you sell yourself short. By underestimating yourself, you set either no goals or low goals that are far below what you are truly capable of accomplishing. By combining idealization and future orientation, you cancel or neutralize this process of self-limitation. You imagine for the moment that you have no limitations at all. You imagine that you have all the time, all the talents, all the abilities that you could ever require to achieve any goal you could set for yourself. No matter where you are in life, you imagine that you have all the friends, all the contacts, and all the relationships that you need to open every door and achieve anything you could really want. You imagine that you have no limitations whatsoever on what you could be, have, or do in the pursuit of the goals that are really important to you. In Charles Garfield's studies of peak performers, he made an interesting discovery. He analyzed men and women who had achieved only average results at work for many years, but who suddenly exploded into great success and accomplishment. He found that at the takeoff point, every one of them began engaging in what he called blue sky thinking. In blue sky thinking, you imagine that all things are possible for you, like looking up into a clear blue sky with no limits. You project forward several years and imagine that your life were perfect in every respect sometime in the future. You then look back to where you are today and ask yourself this question: what would have to have happened for me to have created my perfect future? You then come back to where you are in the present in your own mind and you ask, What would have to happen from this point forward for me to achieve all my goals sometime in the future? When you practice idealization and future orientation, you make no compromises with your dreams and visions for yourself and your future. You don't settle for smaller goals or half successes. Instead, you dream big dreams and project yourself forward mentally as though you are one of the most powerful people in the universe. You create your perfect future. You decide what you really want before you come back to the present moment and deal with what is possible for you within your current situation. Start with your business and your career. Imagine that your work life was perfect 5 years from now. Answer these questions. First, what would it look like? Second, what would you be doing? Third, where would you be doing it? Fourth, if your work life was perfect, who would you be working with? What level of responsibility would you have? Fifth, what kinds of skills and abilities would you have? Sixth, what kind of goals would you be accomplishing? And seventh, if your work life was perfect, what level of status or position would you have in your field? When you answer these questions, imagine that you have no limits. Imagine that everything is possible for you. Peter Drucker once said, "We greatly overestimate what we can accomplish in 1 year, but we greatly underestimate what we can accomplish in 5 years." Don't let this happen to you. Now, idealize your perfect financial life sometime in the future. Ask these questions. First, how much do you want to be earning 5 years from today? Second, what sort of lifestyle do you want to have? What kind of home do you want to live in? Third, what kind of a car do you want to drive if your financial life was perfect? Fourth, what kind of material luxuries do you want to provide for yourself and your family? Fifth, how much do you want to have in the bank 5 years from now? Sixth, how much do you want to be saving and investing each month and each year, both in solid amounts and percentages? And seventh, how much do you want to be worth when you retire? Imagine that you have a magic slate. You can write down anything you want. You can erase anything that may have happened in the past and create whatever picture you desire for your future. You can clean the slate at any time and start over. You have no limits. Now imagine your perfect family life. Look at your family and relationships today and project 5 years into the future. First, if your family life were perfect 5 years from now, what would it look like? Second, who would you be with? Who would you no longer be with or have in your life? Third question, if your family life were perfect, where and how would you be living? Fourth, what kind of living standards would you have or lifestyle would you be enjoying? And fifth, what kind of relationships would you have with the most important people in your life 5 years from now if everything were perfect in every respect? When you fantasize and imagine your perfect future, the only question you ask is how. This is the most important question of all. Asking the question how repeatedly stimulates your creativity and triggers ideas to help you accomplish your goals. Unsuccessful people always wonder whether or not a particular goal is possible. High achievers, on the other hand, only ask the question how. They then set to work to find ways to make their visions and goals into realities. Review your levels of health and fitness in every area as well. Project ahead 5 years and ask yourself these questions. If you were a perfect physical specimen 5 years from now, how would you look, feel, and appear? Second, what would be your ideal weight? Third, how much would you be exercising each week and each day? Fourth, what would be your overall level of health and fitness? And fifth, what changes would you have to make starting today in your diet, exercise routines, and health habits to enjoy superb physical health sometime in the future? You then imagine that you are an important and influential person, a player in your community. Imagine that you are making a significant contribution to the world around you. You are making a difference with your life and in the lives of other people. If your social and community status and involvement were ideal, here are some questions. First, what would you be doing? Second, what organizations would you be working with or contributing to? And third, what are the causes that you strongly believe in and support, and how could you become more involved in those areas? The primary difference between high achievers and low achievers in all of these areas is action orientation. Men and women who accomplish tremendous things in life are intensely action-oriented. They are moving all the time. They are always busy. If they have an idea, they take action on it immediately. On the other hand, low achievers and non-achievers are full of good intentions, but they always have an excuse for not taking action today. It's well said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Examine yourself in terms of your personal inventory of skills, knowledge, talent, education, and ability. If you were developed to the highest level possible for you, and there's virtually no limit to which you can become developed, answer these questions. First, what additional knowledge and skills would you have acquired 5 years from now if your life was ideal in every respect? Second, in what areas would you be recognized as absolutely excellent in what you do? And third, what would you be doing each day in order to develop the knowledge and skills you need to be one of the top performers in your field sometime in the future? Once you've answered these questions, the only question you ask now is how? How do you attain the skills and expertise you will require to lead your field in the years ahead? Especially, decide how you would like to live, day in and day out, your ideal lifestyle. Design your perfect calendar from January 1st to December 31st. Here are some questions for you. First, what would you like to do on your weekends and vacations if you could do anything at all? Second, how much time would you like to take off each week, each month, and each year? Third, where would you like to go if you could go anywhere and cost was no object? And fourth, how would you organize your life if you had no limitations and complete control over your time? In the Bible it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. What this means is that if you lack an exciting vision for your future, you will perish inside in terms of lacking motivation and enthusiasm for what you're doing. But the reverse of this is that with an exciting future vision, you will be continuously motivated and stimulated every day to take the actions necessary to make your ideal vision a reality. You remember that we said that happiness is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. When you have clear, exciting goals and ideals, you will feel happier about yourself and your world. You'll be more positive and optimistic. You'll be more cheerful and enthusiastic. You will feel internally motivated to get up and get going every morning because every step you are taking will be moving you in the direction of something that's important to you. Resolve to think about your ideal future most of the time. Remember, the very best days of your life lie ahead. The happiest moments you will ever experience are still to come. The highest income you will ever earn is going to materialize in the months and years ahead. The future is going to be better than anything that may have happened in your past, and there are no limits. The clearer you can be about your long-term future, the more rapidly you will attract people and circumstances into your life to help make that future a reality. The greater clarity you have about who you are and what you want, the more you will achieve, and the faster you will achieve it in every area of your life. Now, here are three things you can do immediately to put these ideas into action. First, imagine that there is a solution to every problem, a way to overcome every limitation and no limit on your achieving every goal you can set for yourself. What would you do differently if these facts were the case? Second, practice back from the future thinking. Project forward 5 years and look back to the present. What would have to have happened for your world to be ideal in every respect? And third, imagine your financial life were perfect in every way. How much would you be earning? How much would you be worth? What steps could you take starting today to make these financial goals a reality? One of the most important characteristics of leaders and top people in every area of life is that they know who they are and what they believe in and what they stand for. Average people are usually confused about their goals, values, and ideals, and as a result, they go back and forth and accomplish very little. Men and women who become leaders, on the other hand, with the same or even fewer abilities and opportunities, go on to accomplish great things in whatever they attempt. Life is lived from the inside out. The very core of your personality is your values. Your values are what make you the person you are. Everything you do on the outside is dictated and determined by your values on the inside, whether clear or fuzzy. The greater clarity you have regarding your values on the inside, the more precise and effective will be your actions on the outside. You can imagine your personality by thinking of a bullseye with concentric rings from the inside to the outside. Your personality is made up of five rings, starting from the center, your values, and radiating outward to the next circle, your beliefs. Your values determine your beliefs about yourself and the world around you. If you have positive values, such as love, compassion, and generosity, you will believe that people in your world are deserving of these values and you will treat them accordingly. Your beliefs, in turn, determine the third ring of your personality, your expectations. If you have positive values, you will believe yourself to be a good person. If you believe yourself to be a good person, you'll expect good things to happen to you. If you expect good things to happen to you, you will be positive, cheerful, and future-oriented. You will look for the good in other people and situations. The fourth level of your personality, determined by your expectations, is your attitude. Your attitude will be an outward manifestation or reflection of your values, beliefs, and expectations. For example, if your value is that this is a good world to live in and that your belief is that you're going to be very successful in life, you will expect that everything that happens to you is helping you in some way. As a result, you'll have a positive mental attitude toward other people, and they will respond positively toward you. You will be a more cheerful and optimistic person. You will be someone that others want to work with and for, buy from, sell to, and generally help to be more successful. This is why a positive mental attitude seems to go hand in hand with great success in every walk of life. The fifth ring or level of life is your actions. Your actions on the outside will ultimately be a reflection of your innermost values, beliefs, and expectations on the inside. This is why what you achieve in life and work will be determined more by what is going on inside of you than by any other factor. You can always tell how a person thinks most of the time by looking at the conditions of their outer lives. A positive, optimistic, goal, and future-oriented person on the inside will enjoy a happy, successful, and prosperous life on the outside most of the time. Aristotle said that the ultimate aim or purpose of human life is to achieve your own happiness. Well, you are the very happiest when what you are doing on the outside is congruent with your values on the inside. When you're living in complete alignment with what you consider to be good and right and true, you will automatically feel happy and positive about yourself and your world. Your goals must be congruent with your values, and your values must be congruent with your goals. This is why clarifying your values is often the starting point of high achievement and peak performance. Values clarification requires that you think through what is really important to you in life. You then organize your entire life around these values. Any attempt to live on the outside in a manner that contradicts the values you hold on the inside will cause you stress, negativity, unhappiness, pessimism, and even anger and frustration. Your chief responsibility to yourself in the creation of a great life is therefore for you to develop absolute clarity about your values in everything you do. Stephen Covey once said, "Be sure that as you scramble up the ladder of success, it is leaning against the right building." Carly Simon once sang a famous line in her song, "Is this all there is?" Many people work hard on the outside to achieve goals that they think they want, only to find at the end of the day that they get no joy or satisfaction from their accomplishments. This occurs when the outer accomplishment is not in harmony with your inner values. Don't let this happen to you. Socrates said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." This applies to your values as much as to any other area of your life. A values clarification is something that you do on a go-forward basis. You continually stop the clock, like a timeout in a football game, and ask, "What are my values in this area?" In the Bible it says, "What does it benefit a man if he achieves the whole world but loses his own soul?" The happiest people in the world today are those who are living in harmony with their innermost convictions and values. The unhappiest people are those who are attempting to live incongruent with what they truly value and believe. Self-trust is the foundation of greatness. Self-trust comes from listening to your intuition, to your still, small voice within. Men and women begin to become great when they begin to listen to their inner voices and absolutely trust that they are being guided by a higher power each step of the way. Living in alignment with your true values is the royal road to self-confidence, self-respect, and personal pride. In fact, almost every human problem can be resolved by returning to values. Whenever you experience stress of any kind, look into yourself and ask, "In what way am I compromising my innermost values in this situation?" How can you tell what your values really are? The answer is simple. You always demonstrate your true values in your actions, and especially your actions under pressure. Whenever you are forced to choose between one behavior and another, you will always act consistent with what is most important and valuable to you at that moment. Values, in fact, are organized in a hierarchy. You have a series of values, some of them very intense and important, and some of them weaker and less important. One of the most important exercises you can engage in to determine who you really are and what you really want is to organize your values by priority. Once you are clear about the relative importance of your values, you can then organize your outer life so that it is in alignment with them. There are some insightful ways to help you to determine your true values. First of all, you can look at your past. How have you behaved under pressure in the past? What choices did you make with your time or money when you were forced to choose? Your answers will give you an indication of your predominant values at that time. Dale Carnegie once wrote, "Tell me what gives a person his greatest feeling of importance, and I will tell you his entire philosophy of life." So what makes you feel important? What raises your self-esteem? What increases your sense of self-respect and personal pride? What have you accomplished in your past life that has given you the greatest sense of pride and satisfaction? These answers will give you good indications of your true values. The spiritual teacher Emmett Fox wrote about the importance of discovering your heart's desire. So what is your heart's desire? What is it that deep down in your heart, more than anything else, you would like to be, have, or do in life? As a friend of mine asks, what do you want to be famous for? What words would you like people to use to describe you when you're not there? What would you like people to say about you when you've passed on? What would you like to have someone say about you at your funeral? How do you want your family, friends, and children to remember you? How would you like them to talk about you after you had left this earth? How would you like people to talk to them about you? What kind of a reputation do you have today? What kind of a reputation would you like to have sometime in the future? What would you have to begin doing today in order to create the kind of reputation that you desire? Many people have had difficult experiences growing up. They have fallen onto hard times and become associated with the wrong people. They have behaved in ways that were illegal or socially unacceptable. Sometimes they've even been convicted and sent to prison for their crimes. But at a certain point in life, they decided to change. They thought seriously about the kind of person they wanted to be known as and thought of in the future. They decided to change their lives by changing the values that they live by. By making these decisions and sticking to them, they change their lives. And what others have done, you can do as well. Remember, it doesn't matter where you're coming from. All that really matters is where you're going. If you were an outstanding person in every respect, how would you behave toward others? What sort of impression would you leave on others after you had met them and spoken with them? Imagine you could be a completely excellent person in every respect. How would you be different from today? In psychology, your level of self-esteem determines your level of happiness. Self-esteem is defined as how much you like yourself. Your self-esteem, in turn, is determined by your self-image. This is the way you see yourself and think about yourself in your day-to-day interactions with others. Your self-image is shaped by your self-ideal. Your self-ideal is made up of the virtues, values, goals, hopes, dreams, and aspirations that you have for yourself sometime in the future. Here is what psychologists have discovered. The more your behavior in the moment is consistent with what you feel your ideal behavior should be, the more you like and respect yourself, and the happier you are. On the other hand, whenever you behave in a way that is inconsistent with your ideal of your very best behavior, you experience a negative self-image. You feel yourself to be performing below your best, below what you truly aspire to. As a result, your self-esteem and your level of happiness decrease. The moment that you begin walking, talking, and behaving in ways that are consistent with your highest ideals, your self-image improves, your self-esteem increases, and you feel happier about yourself and your world. For example, whenever you are complimented or praised by another person, or given a prize or an award for accomplishment, your self-esteem goes up, sometimes dramatically. You feel happy about yourself. You feel that your whole life is in harmony and that you are living congruent with your highest ideals. You feel successful and valuable. Your aim should be to deliberately and systematically create the circumstances that raise your self-esteem in everything you do. You should live your life as though you are already the outstanding person that you intend to be sometime in the future. What are your values today with regard to your work and your career? Do you believe in the values of integrity, hard work, dependability, creativity, cooperation, initiative, ambition, and getting along well with people? People who live these values in their work are vastly more successful and more highly esteemed than people who do not. What are your values with regard to your family? Do you believe in the importance of unconditional love, continuous encouragement and positive reinforcement, patience, forgiveness, generosity, warmth, and attentiveness? People who practice these values consistently with the important people in their lives are much happier than people who do not. What are your values with regard to money and financial success? Do you believe in the importance of honesty, industry, thrift, frugality, education, excellent performance, quality, and persistence? People who practice these values are far more successful in their financial lives than those who do not, and far faster as well. What about your health? Do you believe in the importance of self-discipline, self-mastery, self-control with regard to diet, exercise, and rest? Do you set high standards for your levels of health and fitness and then work every day to live up to those standards? People who practice these values live longer, healthier lives than people who do not. Remember, you become what you think about most of the time. Successful, happy people think about their values and how they can live and practice those values in every part of their lives, every single day. The big payoff is that the more you live your life consistent with your values, the happier, healthier, more positive, and energetic you will be. Perhaps the most important value of all is that of integrity. A billionaire client once said to me, "Integrity is not so much a value in itself, it is rather the value that guarantees all the other values." Wow, this was a great insight for me. Once you have decided that you are going to live consistent with a value, your level of integrity determines whether or not you follow through on your commitment. The more you discipline yourself to live consistent with the very best you know, the greater is your level of personal integrity. And the higher your level of integrity, the happier and more powerful you will feel in everything you do. Truly great men and women are always described as having high levels of integrity. They live their lives consistent with their highest values, even when no one is looking. Mediocre men and women, on the other hand, are always cutting corners and compromising their integrity, especially when no one is watching. Decide today to be a man or woman of honor. Resolve to tell the truth and to live in truth with yourself and others. Crystallize your values in each area of your life. Write them down. Think of how you would behave if you were living consistent with those values, and then refuse to compromise them for any reason. Once you accept complete responsibility for your life and for everything that happens to you, and then create an ideal picture of your perfect future and clarify your values, you are now ready to begin setting clear, specific goals in every area of your life. You are now on the launching ramp and ready to take off toward the stars. Now, here are three things you can do immediately to put these ideas into action. First, make a list of your 3 to 5 most important values in life right now. What do you really believe in and stand for? Second, what qualities and values are you best known for today among the people who know you really well? Third, write your own obituary to be read to your friends and family at your funeral exactly as you would like to be remembered. And think, what one change could you make in your behavior today that would help you to live in greater harmony with your values? My favorite word in goal setting and in success in general is the word clarity. There's a direct relationship between the level of clarity you have about who you are and what you want and virtually everything you accomplish in life. Superior men and women invest the time necessary to develop absolute clarity about themselves and what they really want, like designing a detailed blueprint for a building before they begin construction. Average people just throw themselves at life like a dog chasing a passing car and wonder why they never seem to catch anything or keep anything worthwhile. Henry David Thoreau once wrote, "Have you built your castles in the air? Good. That's where they should be built. Now, go to work and build foundations under them." In this session, you begin to crystallize your visions and values into concrete goals and objectives that you can work on every single day. Earlier I mentioned that intense, burning desire is absolutely essential to the overcoming of obstacles and the achieving of great goals. For your desire to be intense enough, your goals must be purely personal. They must be goals that you choose for yourself, rather than goals that someone else wants for you or that you want to achieve to please someone in your life. In goal setting, for the process to be effective, you must be perfectly selfish about what it is that you really, really want for yourself. This doesn't mean that you cannot do things for other people, either at home or at work. This simply means that in setting goals for your life, you start with yourself and work forward. One of the most important questions in goal setting is this: what do I really want to do with my life? If you could do or be or have anything at all in life, what would it be? Remember, you can't hit a target you can't see. You should return to this question over and over in the months and years ahead. Ask yourself, what do I really want to do with my life? In determining your true goals, you start with your vision, your values, and your ideals. When you begin, these will often feel a bit like fantasies, detached from reality. However, now your job is to make them concrete, like designing a dream house on paper. You start with your general goals and then move to more specific goals. For example, what are your three most important goals in your business and career right now? What are your three most important financial goals right now? What are your three most important family or relationship goals right now? And what are your three most important health and fitness goals right now? The flip side of the above questions is for you to ask, what are my three biggest worries or concerns in life right now? What bothers you, worries you, concerns you, and preoccupies you in your day-to-day life? What aggravates or irritates you? What is robbing you of happiness more than anything else? As a friend of mine often asks, where does it hurt? Once you've identified your biggest problems, worries, or concerns, you ask yourself, what are the ideal solutions to each of my problems? How could I eliminate these problems or worries immediately? What is the fastest and most direct way to solve this problem? In 1142, William of Ockham, a British philosopher, proposed a method of problem solving that has come to be referred to as Ockham's Razor. This way of thinking has become famous and popular throughout the ages. What Ockham said was this: the simplest and most direct solution, requiring the fewest number of steps, is usually the correct solution to any problem. Many people make the mistake of overcomplicating goals and problems, but the more complicated the solution, the less likely it is to ever be implemented, and the longer the time it will take to get any results. Your aim should be to simplify the solution and go directly to the goal as quickly as possible. For example, many people tell me they would like to double their incomes. If they are in sales, I ask them, what is the fastest and most direct way to double your income? After they've come up with a series of suggestions, I give them what I consider to be the best answer. Double the amount of time that you spend face-to-face with qualified prospects. The most direct way to increase your sales has always been the same. Spend more time with better prospects. If you don't upgrade your skills or change anything else about what you are doing, but you double the number of minutes that you spend face-to-face with prospects each day, you will probably double your sales and double your income. According to studies that go back as far as 1928, the average salesperson today spends 90 minutes each day face-to-face with prospects. The highest-paid salespeople spend 2 or 3 times that amount. They organize their days efficiently to assure that they spend more minutes in the presence of people who can and will buy their products or services. And the more time they spend with prospects and customers, the more skilled they become at selling. The better they get, the more they sell, and the more they earn in less time. If you examined your work, you would find that 20% of what you do accounts for 80% of the value of all the things you do. In my advanced coaching programs, we teach our clients to identify those 20% of activities that contribute the very most value and then do twice as many of them. Instead of using their intelligence to juggle their time and accomplish a greater number of tasks, we teach them to do fewer tasks, but tasks of higher value. Some of our clients double their productivity and subsequently their income in as little as 30 days with this approach, even if they've been working for many years in the same position. Always look for the simplest and most direct way to get from where you are to where you want to go. Look for the solution that has the fewest number of steps. And most of all, take action. Get going, get busy, develop a sense of urgency. The best ideas in the world are of no value until they are implemented. As the poet said, "The saddest words of mice and men are these, 'It might have been.'" In determining your true goals, use the magic wand technique. Imagine that you have a magic wand that you can wave over a particular area of your life. When you wave this magic wand, your wishes come true. Wave a magic wand over your business and career. If you could have any three wishes in your work, what would they be? Wave a magic wand over your financial life. If you could have any three wishes in your financial life, what would they be? Wave a magic wand over your family life and your relationships. If you could have any three wishes in this area, what would they be? If your family life was ideal in every respect, what would it look like? Wave a magic wand over your health and fitness. If you could have any three wishes with regard to your body and your physical well-being, what would they be? If your health was perfect, how would it be different from today? Wave a magic wand over your skills and abilities. If you could have any three skills or abilities developed to a high level, what would they be? In what areas would you like to excel? The magic wand technique is fun on the one hand, but quite revealing on the other. Whenever you imagine that you have a magic wand, your true goals in that area emerge. You can also use this exercise for other people who are not sure about what they want or where they're going. It's amazing what comes out when you ask this question. Here's another goal-setting question that reflects your true values. Imagine that you went to a doctor for a full medical checkup. Your doctor calls you back a few days later and says, "I have good news for you, and I have bad news for you." The good news is that for the next 6 months, you're going to live the healthiest and most energetic life you could possibly imagine. The bad news is that at the end of 180 days, because of an incurable illness, you will drop stone dead. If you learned today that you only had 6 months left to live, how would you spend your last 6 months on Earth? Who would you spend the time with? Where would you go? What would you strive to complete? What would you do more of or less of? When you ask yourself this question, what comes to the top of your mind will be a reflection of your true values. Your answer would almost always include the most important people in your life. Very few people in this situation would say, "Well, I'd like to get back to the office and return a few phone calls." In setting your true goals as an extension of imagining that you have no limitations, make up a dream list. A dream list is a list of everything you would like to be, have, or do in your life sometime in the future if you had no limitations at all. Mark Victor Hansen, co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, recommends that you sit down with a pad of paper and make a list of at least 100 goals that you want to accomplish in your lifetime. Then, imagine that you have all the time, all the money, all the friends, all the abilities and all the resources necessary to achieve these goals. Let yourself dream and fantasize. Just write down everything that you would like to have as if you had no limitations at all. The amazing discovery you will make is that within 30 days after writing out this list of 100 dreams, remarkable things will begin to happen in your life, and your goals will start to be achieved at a rate that you cannot even imagine today. This seems to happen to virtually everyone once they have written down at least 100 goals. You should give it a try. You could be amazed at the results. Here's another goal-setting question. If you won $1 million tomorrow, cash, tax-free, how would you change your life? What would you do differently? What would you get into or out of? What would you do more of or less of? What would be the first thing you would do if you learned today that you had just received $1 million cash? This is another way of asking the question, how would you change your life if you were completely free to choose? The primary reason that we stay in situations that are not the best for us is because we fear change. But when you imagine that you have all the money that you'll ever need to do or be whatever you want, your true goals often emerge. For example, if you are currently in the wrong job for you, the idea of winning a large amount of money would cause you to think about quitting that job immediately. If you were in the right job for you, however, winning a lot of money would not affect your career choice at all. So ask yourself, what would I do if I won $1 million cash, tax-free, tomorrow? Here's another question to help you clarify your true goals. What have you always wanted to do but been afraid to attempt? When you look around your world and you look at other people who are doing things that you admire, What have you always wanted to do as well, but you've been afraid of taking the chance? Have you ever wanted to start your own business? Have you wanted to run for public office? Have you wanted to embark on a new career? What have you always wanted to do, but been afraid to attempt? In setting goals for your life, long and short term, you should continually ask yourself, what do I most enjoy doing in each area of my life? For instance, if you could do just one thing all day long in your work, what would it be? If you could do any job or full-time activity all the time without pay, what would it be? What sort of work or activity gives you the greatest joy and satisfaction? The psychologist Abraham Maslow identified what he called peak experiences. Those moments are times when the individual feels the happiest, the most elated, and exhilarated. One of your aims in life is to enjoy as many peak experiences as possible. You achieve this by thinking back and identifying those moments of peak experience in your past, and then by imagining how you could repeat them in your present and future. What have been your happiest moments in life up to now? How could you have more of those moments in the future? What do you really love to do? You should have goals for social and community involvement and contribution as well. Think about what kind of a difference you would like to make in your world. What organizations, causes, needs, or social problems would you like to work on or work in? What changes would you like to see in your world? Who is there who is less fortunate than you that you would like to help? If you were independently wealthy, what causes would you support? Most of all, what could you do today to begin making a difference in your world? Don't wait until some future date when everything will be ideal. Instead, start today in some way. One of the most important areas of goal setting is your financial life. If you could earn and accumulate all the money you need, you could probably achieve most of your non-financial goals faster and easier than you can today. If your life were ideal, how much money would you like to earn each month, each year? How much would you like to save and invest each month and year? How much would you like to be worth sometime in the future? What sort of estate would you like to accumulate by the time you retire, and when would you like that to be? Most people are hopelessly confused about their financial goals, but when you become absolutely clear about them for yourself, your ability to achieve them increases dramatically. When you are absolutely clear about what you want, you can then think about your goals most of the time. And the more you think about them, the faster they will materialize in your life. This process of asking yourself questions about your goals in each part of your life begins to clarify your thinking and makes you a more focused and definite person. As Zig Ziglar says, you move from being a wandering generality to becoming a meaningful specific. Most of all, you reach the point where you can determine your major definite purpose in life. This is the springboard for great achievement and extraordinary accomplishment. Now, here are three things you can do immediately to put these ideas into action. First, write down your three most important goals in life right now. Second, if you want $1 million cash tax-free tomorrow, what changes in your life would you make immediately? Third, if you could wave a magic wand over your life and have anything you wanted, what would you wish for? Since you become what you think about most of the time, a major definite purpose gives you a focus for every waking moment. As Peter Drucker said, whenever you find something getting done, you find a monomaniac with a mission. The more you think about your major definite purpose and how to achieve it, the more you activate the law of attraction in your life. You begin to attract to you people, opportunities, ideas, and resources that help you to move more rapidly toward your goal and move your goal more rapidly toward you. By the law of correspondence, your outer world of experience will correspond and harmonize with your inner world of goals. When you have a major definite purpose that you think about, talk about, and work on all the time, your outer world will reflect this like a mirror image. A major definite purpose also activates your subconscious mind on your behalf. Any thought, plan, or goal that you can clearly define in your conscious mind will immediately start to be brought into reality by your subconscious mind and your superconscious mind, as we will discuss later. Each person has within his or her brain a special organ called a reticular cortex. This small, finger-like part of the brain functions in a way similar to a telephone switchboard in a large office building. Just as all phone calls are received by the central switchboard and then rerouted to the appropriate recipient, all incoming information to your senses is routed through your reticular cortex to the relevant part of your brain, or to your awareness. Your reticular cortex contains your reticular activating system. When you send a goal message to your reticular cortex, it starts to make you intensely aware of and alert to people, information, and opportunities in your environment that will help you achieve your goal. For example, imagine that you decided that you wanted a red sports car. You write this down as a goal. You begin to think about and visualize a red sports car. This process sends the message to your reticular cortex that a red sports car is now important to you. This picture immediately goes up onto your mental radar screen. From that moment onward, you will start to notice red sports cars wherever you go. You will even see them driving and turning corners several blocks away. You will see them parked in driveways and in showrooms. Everywhere you go, your world will seem to be full of red sports cars. If you decided to buy a motorcycle, you would start to see motorcycles everywhere. If you decided to take a trip to Hawaii, you would begin to notice posters, advertisements, brochures, and television specials with information on Hawaiian vacations. Whatever goal message you send to your reticular cortex activates your reticular activating system to make you alert to all possibilities to make that goal a reality. For example, if you decide to become financially independent, you will suddenly begin to notice all kinds of opportunities and possibilities around you that have to do with achieving your financial goals. You will see stories in newspapers and recognize books on the subject wherever you go. You will receive information and solicitations in the mail. You'll find yourself in conversations about earning and investing money. It will seem as though you are surrounded by ideas and information that can be helpful to you in achieving your financial goals. On the other hand, if you do not give clear instructions to your reticular cortex and your subconscious mind, you will go through life as though you were driving in a fog. You will be largely unaware of all these opportunities and possibilities around you. You will seldom see them or notice them. It's been said that attention is the key to life. Wherever your attention goes, your life goes as well. When you decide upon a major definite purpose, you increase your level of attentiveness and become increasingly sensitive to anything in your environment that can help you to achieve that goal faster. Your major definite purpose can be defined as the one goal that is the most important to you at the moment. It is usually the one goal that will help you to achieve more of your other goals than anything else you can accomplish. It must have the following characteristics. First, your major definite purpose must be something that you personally really, really want. Your desire for this goal must be so intense that the very idea of achieving your major definite purpose excites you and makes you happy. Second, your major definite purpose must be clear and specific. You must be able to define it in words. You must be able to write it down with such clarity that a child could read it and know exactly what it is you want and be able to determine whether or not you've achieved it. Third, your major definite purpose must be measurable and quantifiable. Rather than make a lot of money, it must be more like I earn $100,000 per year by a specific date. Fourth, your major definite purpose must be both believable and achievable. Your major definite purpose cannot be so big or so ridiculous that it's completely unattainable at the moment. A woman approached me at one of my seminars and told me that she had decided upon her major definite purpose, I asked her what it was. She said, I'm going to be a millionaire in 1 year. Curiously, I asked her approximately how much she was worth today. Well, it turned out that she was broke and in debt. I asked her what kind of work she did. It turned out that she had just been fired from her job because of incompetence. I then asked her why she would set a goal to acquire $1 million in 1 year under these circumstances. Well, she informed me that I had said that you could set any major goal you wanted as long as you were clear, and she was therefore convinced that was all she needed to be successful. I had to explain to her that her goal was so unrealistic and unattainable in her current circumstances that it would only discourage her when she found herself so far away from it. Such a goal would actually end up demotivating her rather than motivating her to do the things she would need to be financially successful in the years ahead. A man at one of my seminars told me that his major definite purpose was world peace. I explained to him that unless he was the head of a major superpower, there was very little influence he could have on world peace. Such a goal would only keep him from setting a personal goal that was actually attainable, something that he could work on every day. He was visibly irritated and walked away, unhappy with my reluctance to encourage him in his fantasy. In both of these cases, they were using goal setting against themselves. They were setting themselves up for failure by creating goals that were so unachievable that they would soon become discouraged and quit making any efforts at all. This is a real danger when you begin setting big goals for yourself, and you must be careful to avoid it. It can be a blind alley that leads you into discouragement and demotivation rather than to enthusiasm and excitement. I made this mistake once myself when I was younger. When I first started setting goals, I set an income goal that was 10 times what I had ever earned in my life. After many months and no progress at all, I realized that my goal was not helping me. Because it was so far beyond anything I had ever achieved, it had no motivating power. In my heart of hearts, although I wanted it, I really did not believe it was possible. And since I didn't believe it was possible, my subconscious mind rejected it, and my reticular cortex simply failed to function. Don't let this happen to you. Fifth, your major definite purpose should have a reasonable probability of success, perhaps 50-50 when you begin. If you've never achieved a major goal before, set a goal that has an 80% or even 90% probability of success. Make it easy on yourself, at least at the beginning. Later on, you can set huge goals with very small probabilities of success, and you will still be motivated to take the steps necessary to achieve them. But in the beginning, set goals that are believable, achievable, and which have a high probability of success so that you can be assured of winning right from the start. Sixth, your major definite purpose must be in harmony with your other goals. You cannot want to be financially successful in your career on the one hand and play golf most of the time on the other. Your major goals must be in harmony with your minor goals and congruent with your values. Here is the key question for determining your major definite purpose. What one great thing would you dare to dream if you knew you could not fail? If you could be absolutely guaranteed of successfully achieving any goal, large or small, short-term or long-term, what one goal would it be? Whatever your answer to this question, if you can write it down, you can probably achieve it. From then on, the only question you ask is, how? The only real limit is how badly you want it and how long you are willing to work toward it. One of my seminar participants, a professor of chemistry at a leading university, had won a Nobel Prize in chemistry 2 years before in partnership with two other scientists. He told me that when he started his university career in his 20s, he decided that he wanted to make a major contribution in the field of chemistry. That was his major definite purpose. He focused on it for more than 25 years, and eventually he was successful. He told me, I was clear from the very beginning. I never doubted that I would eventually make such a significant contribution to chemistry that I would win the Nobel Prize. I was happy when it happened, but it was not a surprise. Everyone wants to be a millionaire or a multimillionaire. The only question is whether or not you are willing to do all the things necessary and invest all the years required to achieve that financial goal. If you are, there's virtually nothing that can stop you. Here is an exercise for you. Take out a sheet of paper and write down a list of 10 goals that you would like to accomplish in the foreseeable future. Write them down in the present tense, as though you had already achieved these goals. For example, you would write, I weigh X number of pounds, or I earn X number of dollars per year. After you've completed your list of 10 goals, go back over the list and ask yourself this question. What one goal on this list, if I were to accomplish it immediately, would have the greatest positive impact on my life? In almost every case, this one goal is your major definite purpose. It is the one goal that can have the greatest impact on your life and on the achieving of most of your other goals at the same time. Whatever goal you choose, write it on a separate sheet of paper. Write down everything you can think of that you can do to achieve this goal, and then take action on at least one item on your list. Write this goal on a 3x5 index card that you carry around with you and review it regularly. Think about this goal morning, noon, and night. Continually look for ways to achieve it. And the only question you ask is how. Your selection of a major definite purpose and your decision to concentrate single-mindedly on that purpose, overcoming all obstacles and difficulties until it is achieved, will do more to change your life for the better than any other decision you ever make. Whatever your major definite purpose, write it down and begin working on it today. Now, here are three things you can do immediately to put these ideas into action. First, answer the question, what one great thing would you dare to dream if you knew you could not fail? Second, make a list of 10 goals you would like to achieve in the months and years ahead in the present tense. Select the one goal from that list that would have the greatest positive impact on your life. And third, make a list of everything that you can think of to do that will move you toward your goal. Take action on at least one thing immediately.